You're staring at me, I said. I had not turned my head. I didn't need to. Raven chuckled.
Bet your ass.
You brighten the entire room. You look good, babe, just watching the sunlight on your hair. It turns gold when you stroke it and flip it up. He made me smile. He always said the safe house was too dark, with its solid walls, massive rock fireplace, small windows, and the dense forest that surrounded it. I loved forests. I drew comfort and serenity from them. It was probably my Celtic heritage. I didn't mind a bit of visual gloom. The sense of life all around me was calming. Except for the kill teams, of course. Raven saw the deep dark as a danger zone. Even with the sensors and security cameras, he wanted to personally see what was coming at him. He'd said, the problem with walls and doors is that you can't see what's on the other side. It didn't matter. Our safe house was compromised. We would be leaving soon. I said, are you going to tell me what's going on?
What's to tell? Out there in the real world, President Blegger is alive, recovering, doing well. And America is rejoicing. Here in our small corner, we are on stand down, and you're safe.
They found us here. I left again, unsaid. We both remember Durham.
They did. Incidentally.
Incidentally? What does that mean? He gave a short laugh.
Who knows? It's just what Goldfarb said. He's on the National Security Council now. Apparently they talk that way.
I turned and looked at him. How is he?
Recovering. They kept us off the grid, thank God, but some media person noticed Goldfarb's name on logs for visiting the president in the hospital. He's staying out of Washington until things cool off.
What things?
High-level policy issues at the National Security Council level. President Blegger wanted to give him a voting seat on NSC, but that would have to be announced. Instead, Goldfarb is to be an ad hoc member, like Bannon under Trump was after he was removed. Powerful people oppose that.
Can you put that in plain English?
Goldfarb came to us from the land of broken toys at CIA. He's a relic of the Cold War, a patriot. Without him, neither of us would still be alive.
I know.
He's being promoted. The president wants him present at NSC. He can sit in whenever he wants as a guest. The bad news is that Goldfarb now leaves footprints. He casts a shadow. One that is about to get bigger and more noticeable. He's not happy about that.
He exposed us, Raven.
Yes. It wasn't poor tradecraft. It was something more subtle. There's a lot of shit happens in our world. He's working to get us better protection.
Where is he?
Not sure. Don't you know?
I know you met with him.
Raven took a deep breath and let it out slowly. Yeah.
Are you going to tell me what he wants?
You don't know?
Something is wrong. I've done several remote viewings, but I can't tell. We seem to be at a nexus. I don't see any big threats on the horizon. From a great distance, the world seems to be healing. The abyss is gone as if it never existed. The president is good. His lifeline is strong into the future. He's loved and respected.
Except by our enemies, Raven said. But
I can't see the close-up details. When I try to see our future, yours and mine, the trail gets lost in a probability cloud. It's fuzzy. Not a fog exactly, but there's no clarity. Things are shifting and changing. The future is uncertain, like it's trying to figure out what it wants it to be.
That's about what Goldfarb said, too. Our mission is being redefined. There will be new rules. They are trying to sort it out.
Is this about the Blegger codicil?
That's the big picture. It's stated policy. America is putting it into treaties.
Going back to the tactics of General Blackjack Pershing? Extreme punishment for Islamic terrorism?
Not extreme. Appropriate would be a better word, I think. More effective.
You need to explain that.
Trump wanted to destroy ISIS, and he pretty much did.
Yes.
Blegger wants more. He plans to totally eradicate radical Islam. The Arab Spring rejuvenated the ancient horrors. Hijra, migration jihad. Blegger wants to put that genie back in the bottle and hammer the cork down before they get nukes and other WMDs.
By killing more Islamic terrorists.
Jesse shuddered.
You know that there are millions of them.
Millions. Before we met, I saved you in Iran. I had to give up those missions. It was killing me. Raven nodded. Reality sucks. Intelligence services estimate that 15 to 25% of Muslims are jihadists. Perhaps 180 to 300 million people. The blogger codicil is an effort to trim the percentage without having to kill them all. In any case, wars and battlefields are a job for our military. We're being tasked with key, small group strategic threats. Defending the homeland, that's what we've been doing. This will just formalize it. What about me? They came for me. They did, because you are a national asset. Goldfarb wants to shift us from defense to offense. He wants a narrow, focused, preemptive elimination of top-level strategic threats. It sounds like he's talking about playing God. Do you want any part of that? I don't. And he's not. What then? He's talking about identifying and removing a few specific major cancer cells. America has done that before in wartime. We are talking about small numbers. How many? Single digits. This is about killing Grindel, not slaughtering an endless wave of zombie armies. That's the job of our military, God bless them. It's still killing jihadis without due process. Spies, saboteurs, illegal enemy combatants have never had Geneva Convention protection, Josie. Not ever. The norms of conventional warfare or law enforcement simply don't apply. I shook my head. You are talking crazy. Islam is an ideology of conquest. The death penalty doesn't work against jihadis who want to kill and die for Allah. Death is not a deterrent for Islamic jihad. Instead, it's an incentive, an added reward. All Pershing did was to tailor punishment to accommodate the customs and culture of Islam in the treatment of captured terrorists. History shows that it worked for him. That's disputed. What isn't?